Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
There's a touch of spring in the air, isn't there? And that's very nice to see. Favorite time of the year for me. Now, Matthew chapter 25, and we have been looking at the parable the Savior tells, beginning at the verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory. The Savior here is speaking of a time the world doesn't believe will ever take place when the Son of Man shall come. The world doesn't believe in it. And yet, as is ever the case, the Christian takes the absolute opposite view, because we believe he will come, and we live in the light of that coming. We should never, ever forget it. Never, ever forget it. If I might give you an example, it's maybe not a good one, but it's one I'm sure you'll understand. From the very beginning of the day here in school, the chances are you live in the light of 3:30 when you get home, or head for home. You're thinking of that. And if you're not thinking of that, well, you're not like I was when I was at school, because I used to watch the old clock on occasions, and it seemed to be going backwards rather than advancing, looking forward to that moment when the school bag was grabbed and we headed for the door. Well, I'm sure you don't have the same motives for having a desire to get out of school as I had back then. You enjoy school, and you're surrounded by nice people, and even occasionally, maybe twice a week, you get a lovely person coming in to speak to you in the assembly. Yes, I see a wee smudge here and there. You're catching what I'm saying. All right, let's turn here to this passage. Now, we were looking at what it was the Lord Jesus will say to his people. We're told in verse 32, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father. You remember, of course, that I have said that what we have here are all the professing Christians out of all the nations on the earth gathered before the Lord. But the church is like a flock that you would find in Israel. I don't know if you'd find them anywhere else in the world, but in Israel, when the shepherd was out, his flock was made up of sheep and goats. They looked very alike, but they weren't the same. And that's the picture here. The Church of Jesus Christ is made up, that is the visible church, the professing church, is made up of two types of people, those who are saved and those who say they're saved but aren't really saved. Well, saying you're saved but not being really saved won't get you to heaven. And here we find the Lord dividing the sheep from the goats. And he says to the sheep, for he's addressing them first. He's addressing them first. That's always interesting. If you go to school, arrive in the morning, and there's some standing about, the chances are you'll head over to those that are closest to you, your special friend. I hope everybody's your friend in school, but there's those who are special. And you head for them. You speak to them first. And the Lord is speaking to those who are his special friend. Are you a special friend of the Lord Jesus today? Do you belong to him? Is he your friend? That's what it is to be a Christian. So he speaks first and foremost to the sheep. It is significant, therefore, that he speaks to his sheep first and foremost. And notice what he says to them. Verse 34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And we have looked at that, and we have come to considering the title that is given to the people of God. Come, ye blessed of my Father. Come, ye blessed of my Father. Boys and girls, you don't realize the blessings that your father, your dad, bestows upon you. You never think about how he goes out and earns and works in order to provide you with food, clothing, schooling here, and 101 other different benefits. You never really give thought to how these benefits and blessings come to you every day. Indeed, you hardly even notice that you're enjoying these benefits. We hardly notice the blessings our earthly fathers bestow upon us. And it's even more the case. The Christian hardly recognizes the mighty benefits that God bestows upon them. And yet, this is the title given to them. Come ye blessed of my Father. Now you will discover that the older you get, the more conscious you are of the blessings that God has bestowed upon you. I look back on my life and I can remember so many incidents, so many chapters, as it were, of my life. And I have to shake my head and say, oh, how God was merciful to me there. Merciful to me. Delivering me. Causing me to escape from that terrible situation. Time and time again, I have been reminded of God's mercy, because when you're a Christian, you're blessed of the Father. Now, we considered a couple of things. He chose us from all eternity. That's the first blessing. Oh, think on that. Before you were ever born, God had you chosen. Think on that. And then, of course, he called you. There came a day in your life when he called you. If you're saved. I might say if you're not saved, he has been calling you. And he is calling you. You haven't yet answered. You remember I told you about Samuel and how Samuel heard in the night the Lord speaking to him. Samuel, Samuel. The Lord is so proper and so polite when he's talking to us. He didn't say, hey, you. No. He called him by his name. Because he had known Samuel, chosen Samuel from all eternity. So he knew Samuel. Samuel. And Samuel heard the voice, got up, and said, oh, that must be Eli. He did not know the Lord. He did not recognize the Lord. Oh, listen. Has God been speaking to you and you haven't recognized his voice? You've put it down to the voice of the teacher, the voice of the Sunday school teacher, the voice of the minister, the voice of me here at the assembly. Oh, it's them that's troubling my heart. It's them that's speaking and bothering me. But it's not. It's the Lord. He's speaking to you, and he's calling you. And we'll go a little further today, and we'll consider how that not only does the Lord choose his people and then call his people to a knowledge of himself and save them, but all along the way he cares for them. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter the chapter 1, and we're looking at some verses there. 1 Peter. Chapter 1, and we'll start at the verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's praising the Lord, and then Peter goes on to tell us why he's praising the Lord. Which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten, born again, that's what it means, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, a living hope. There's many in this world have a hope. Millions in this United Kingdom. Daily almost, it seems, will go into a shop and they'll pay their money over for a lottery ticket. And off they go, clutching this little ticket, hoping that they'll win the lottery. Well, there's only one wins the lottery, so there's millions disappointed. That's a dead hope. That's a hope that'll never come to anything. But the Christian has a lively hope, that is a living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. There's the basis of our hope. When the Lord Jesus rose from the dead, that gave us hope. That by his rising, there's an indication that his death had been successful, he had paid the price of his people's sin, and what's more, there'll come a day when we too will rise from the dead. This is the hope, then, of the child of God. Then, verse 4, we've been born again to a lively hope. Then, verse 4, to an inheritance. To an inheritance. Incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away. How many of you have got savings account? Well, I don't need to get you to put your hand up, but I'm sure many of you already have savings account. And you're hoping that the money that your parent puts into the account will grow. And I hope that too. But it's not unknown for money to be invested and instead of growing, it diminishes. The company that you put the money with, it doesn't do well and your money diminishes. But see what Peter says about our hope. He says it's an inheritance, incorruptible, can't be corrupted. It's undefiled, can't in any way be defiled or soiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times. Boys and girls, today sometime, maybe tonight, before you go to bed, before you go to sleep, just look at those verses again and go through them and break it up and see all the little links in the chain that tell you what you have in Christ if you're saved. If you're saved. The final link in the verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. You're kept. So, chosen, called, and when you're called and brought into the fellowship of Christ, he keeps you. He keeps you. He doesn't let you fall or come to harm, because his keeping of you means that he guards you, looks after you. He's the great shepherd of the sheep. None of his sheep ever come to harm. Now, the world does try to harm, because as soon as I say that, I realize some of you say, oh, you say Christians never come to harm. Look at those who were burned at the stake. Now, the world thought, that's the end of them. We have destroyed them. But it wasn't. They didn't come to harm. Their bodies were burned, but from the very fire, their souls ascended up to heaven. And what's more, far from it being the end of them, we're still talking about what they believed in, what they lived for, what they testified to. It's still being heard throughout the world. Now, the people who burned them, I have been in Lewis, and you know about Lewis. And in Lewis, a lot of Christians were burned right there in the high street outside the city hall. They were burned at the stake, and their names were up on a wall, on a plaque. But what's not on that plaque are the names of those who lit the fire, who stood around and cheered. They're long forgotten. Their dust lies in some unknown grave. But those that they thought they were destroying, their name lives, their testimony lives, their witness lives still. And it will through all eternity. The world thought it had done away with them. But it hadn't, because you see, the Lord cares for his flock. And they cannot be harmed by the world, no matter what the world does against them. Cared for. And then one last thing that comes as a result of our being blessed of the Lord. We're carried home. The Christian's feet never get tired. It is said of Israel when they came out of Egypt. And remember, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. God said to them, your shoes never wore out. That's a miraculous thing. Imagine wearing the same shoes for 40 years and walking through territory covered with a brace of sand and very sharp rocks that would make mincemeat of any pair of shoes in a very short time. But they walked through those wilderness areas for 40 years and their shoes never wore out. It's a fact, but it's a wonderful picture of how the Lord cares for his people. He carries us all the way home. You have that in the parable of the good shepherd who went out looking for the sheep, you remember? He found the sheep, and then what did he do? He put it on his shoulders and he carried it all the way home. He didn't get a stick and drive it in front of him, which is what we might see happening in the world, but that wasn't what the Lord did. He lifted the sheep and he put it on his shoulders and he carried it all the way home. And I'm so thankful today, boys and girls, and I hope you are too if you're seeing, that I'm resting on the shoulders of Christ and he carried me all the way home. And at the end of our days, the world doesn't like to think about death. And some people might think it's wrong for young children to even be taught anything about death, but that's nonsense. Death's mentioned in God's Word, and God's Word is meant to be read by us all. Therefore, God will have us think about death. Well, what does death mean for the child of God? Turn to Luke chapter 16. Those of you who can find your way through the Bible, Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abram's bosom. Carried by the angels. I have seen in recent days wee reports of an old soldier who had fought in the Second World War and he had no family. And some of the neighbours realised he's getting old and soon he'll die, and then there come the moment when he did die, and the neighbours were thinking there'll not be one at his funeral, because there's no family. So they contacted the press, and the press put up the story, and there were hundreds of people turned up. If it happened near me, I would have gone, because we owe something to those who fought in the wars. But that old soldier's funeral was nothing like this beggar's funeral. He was just a beggar. He was a nobody. Clothed in rags. He was a nobody and a nothing. A despised person. But when he died, God sent angels to carry him home. To bring him into his presence. That's how the Christian dies. It's rarely thought about. When the Christian dies and the family and the friends and the neighbors gather into the home and they're full of sadness and sorrow and they're thinking about the passing and so forth, very few think that into this room where our friend is now lying on a bed in a coffin, the angels of God came just a short time ago and carried his soul to heaven. That's what happened when a Christian died. That's what happened. I discovered a wee verse when I was thinking about this. Turn on over to Luke chapter 24. The last chapter in the Gospel of Luke, end of chapter 24, we read, and it came to pass while he blessed them. This is the Lord Jesus. He's standing on the Mount of Olives, and he's blessing his disciples and saying goodbye to them. He was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Carried. That verse we looked at in chapter 16 that speaks of the poor beggar man dying and how he was carried by the angels. That word carried in Luke 16 and again in the chapter 24 of Luke, they're not exactly the same, but they come from the same source. So they carry a similar meaning. So Christ was carried into heaven, and how he was carried into heaven, that's how we're going to go as Christians. If you're saved, I might say your funeral arrangements have all been made. The Lord will come and he'll send his angel and he'll carry your soul into his presence. There's no need to worry about things like that. Child of God doesn't need to worry. The Lord has it all provided for. So, come ye blessed of my Father. These are the blessings that belong to the child of God. They're blessed of the Father, chosen by him, called by him, cared for, and finally carried home. Oh, think on these today. Young Christian, think on these today. May the Lord bless you through his word. And if you're not saved today, oh, think on this too. Think on this too. You don't know the blessing of the Lord unto salvation until you ask the Lord to save you. Let's bow in prayer. Oh God, write thy word in hearts, I pray. Lord, save any boy or girl here who is not saved, that they might begin to experience in a wonderful way the blessings of God. Look down on our school today, care for it in every way, take care of each one that's in it. provide for its needs. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.